Yeah. Cool. What's
the pinup thing? Get Kent.
Welcome to all of you to our Sunday morning worship service. We are glad you could join us. As the psalmist says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It is instructive that Isaiah the prophet picks up this theme in chapter 2, verse 3, where he says, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. To be taught and to obey. Such important attributes for being willing to come and worship. And to welcome those who are visitors here this morning, too. Cheers. Who have you got with you here this morning? Who's with you? Oh, here. Yes.
From Alberta.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay. Welcome here. It's good to be here. Are there other visitors that we should introduce? Welcome to all of you. It's good to see Caroline here with us this morning. You've had a long goal with getting healed up here, and it's good to see you be able to be with us again. We've missed you, and we're glad you could join us. Just a note about that in our bulletin, they expressed their gratitude for the care and concern during her broken foot from December 10th. So it's been a while, maybe a couple of months. Thank you for the meals, the cards, the visits, the calls, and the prayers. It's good to be part of the caring church family. I want to recall also Morgan Fair, who is in the midst of a week with other group members spending a week of ministry in Thicket Portage. It's a very small native community south of Thompson. And this group are going to be staying with one Christian couple in this community. There's a few children, but encouragement to their host, Norman.
Pretty exciting.
And they're looking for a good time with them. Nettie, it's good to see you in church as well.
Yes.
Good to see you. Had the radiation treatments this last week as well. So good to get that started. Other announcements in the bulletin, notice that there's a Lenten memory passage that the Sunday School has included for us to memorize. They've encouraged us with these verses from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 8. But to keep those in mind, and a good remembrance of the resurrection story from that gospel. Take note, next Sunday, it's kind of hidden in the church calendar there. We should have had it in a little bit earlier, but February 25th, there is a youth lunch to follow. Jerry and the youth group are planning for this as a fundraiser to be used for Soar Heartland and other youth projects that will be happening next Sunday morning after our worship service. Take note also, on March 11th is our annual spring church meeting, and we will follow that or have that meeting after our noon fellowship meal as well. Just for SOAR volunteers needed, there's on the back of that insert, they need lots of volunteers for all kinds of areas. Also looking for 8,000 cookies. That's a big number of cookies, but I'm sure they were all already get eaten, so looking for that. Take note of MCI's information evening on Tuesday, February 20th, 6 o'clock for dinner, and an information evening to follow that. An announcement that I was handed to me this morning as well. We're invited to a come and go belated birth celebration for Margaret Crossan. The family would like to invite us to come to commemorate her 95th birthday. This is on Sunday, next Sunday, February 25th, from 2 to 4 in the Cedar Estates Common Room. Next Sunday, 2 to 4 at the Cedar Estates Common Room. I think it's instructive that I think Norm would like us to know that he won his bowling tournament yesterday at Winkler. That's a pretty good accomplishment. Norm, how did it go? Oh, he just goes like this. It just went like this. Yeah. It's good to have Norm on your team if you're going bowling. You bet. Are there other announcements that we need to
more time some more?
Yes, Gary? This one's been in here for a couple of weeks already, but I'm going to highlight it now. Promise Keepers coming up March 9 and 10. I'm going. There might be a few other men going already. I'm staying at the Comfort Inn in Winnipeg, so I encourage you men all to get registered. And if you're looking for a place to stay, you're going to have to source your own rooms, but I'm at the Comfort Inn, so who knows, maybe we got 20 guys in the hotel there, all want rare to go, so be kind of nice. Jake and Agatha had asked for some time to mention a few things about the MDS all-unit meeting that happened last weekend during the same time as our retreat, and not all of us were able to attend that. So are you good to go for now? Okay. Okay.
So on a little bit of a side thing, Ray Peters asked me how come I was all of a sudden into skating. John Falk in 1971 was attending MCI, and we had a little bit of a Bush League hockey league in Trinity, and he could get us some good skates. So I have vintage 1971 skates. In January, beginning of January, I read an announcement on CBC that Cancer Care Manitoba was hoping to raise $20,000 for cancer care, and in conjunction with that, we were hoping to have over 380 people skating along the Red River for a Guinness World Record. And I thought, I can do this. We have so many people that we know that are presently dealing with cancer, or Agatha's mom and dad and her grandparents, they all dealt with cancer. I can do this. I have skates. I went to Morton to check them out on the lake there, and went around that a couple of times, 4 kilometers, 3.8 kilometers. I only did a triple axis once, but apparently you're supposed to do that when you're on your skates, not when you're on the ground. So we ended up, we did that on the 4th, on Cancer, on World Cancer Day. We had 395 people there. I got an email at the beginning of that week that they had raised $22,000, which was, they were totally happy. And then at the end of the week, I got another email that a company in Winnipeg called Burns Corporation, and they were matching whatever we had donated. And then, by the way, we're going to put in an extra $100,000. So we ended up raising $146,000 for cancer care. And the skates still work. The
20.
I figured if Justin Falk can play hockey, I can maybe still skate a little bit too. So now we'll get on. I got this. I wasn't supposed to get off topic. I could tell another story about Peter Dick at Union Gospel Mission when he was speaking once. He had this reputation of talking for a while. And so in the back there were the minister and a few others. And they had this plan, you know, and then he would be walking past there. And so at a certain point, when they thought it was time for him to quit, that somebody would pull on his coattail. But he was out of their reach. And their second deal they were going to do was they were going to throw, somebody was going to take off his shoes and going to throw him on his back, like, to get his attention. And he was the one telling a story. And he says, you know what happened? The guy missed. Get a little old lady in the third bench. Happened to be a nurse there, and she had some smelling salts. And when she came true, she looked around and she says, hit me again, I can still hear her. MDS.
A
Okay, we attended the all units meeting on February 9th and 10th at Winkler, and it was a really good experience. They told us the theme, if we didn't bring anything else back to our congregation, we should just tell them this one thing, that when churches get together, we can accomplish great things. So Director Kevin King shared many stories of the challenges, many great needs there have been in 2017. And they've had the largest number of volunteers last year. It was over 5,000 volunteers for NDS last year. So Jake's going to share a little bit.
The disasters that happened in 2017 are like none other than they have had in the past in total. So there's a lot of needs. And Kevin King tells the story about they were in Texas trying to figure out how to do things at this one place, and he gets a phone call, and he answers it, and the other end, the lady says, are these the Mennonites? And he thinks a little bit, and he answers, what did you say? He says, did I contact the Mennonites? And Kevin says, well, I guess so. So what's this about? Yeah. Well, and when we had flooding in New York, then one of the people in our office wasn't getting any help from anybody until the Mennonites arrived and helped clean out her house. I'm from Dell Computers, and we make some substantial donations at times. And we have been trying to find the best organization to make a donation to. And so this lady, when she came forward, we decided that's where we're going to donate to. We have $34 million available. Are you interested in it? And so after a number of meetings, they decided that they would put, I believe they put the money in trust. And so last year, they paid $200,000 for materials, and it's going to keep, they're going to use this, because when there's a disaster, it takes years before all the people have been helped out. And so they didn't just want to put it all in one place. And so when I talked to Evelyn Peters at MBS, she says, encourage people, if you're going to buy a computer, buy a Dell. Because they're the ones that support us.
So we met people from all areas of Canada and the U.S. And there were just many, many stories. And just like we were talking in Sunday school today about how FOSBA brings about fellowship, it kind of happens there too. We didn't maybe have FOSBA, but we had meals together. You'd sit at a table with half a dozen other people, and you would hear their stories, because there just are a lot of people, some that had suffered themselves, and others that had been the recipient, and others that had been helping. And we heard stories from the fires in Kansas, and where one of the ladies that had lost her home, as she was also struggling with cancer, and the volunteers that had been helping them, at the end of this lady became a Christian as well. So we had Martha McShane shared about the MDS working together with CARE in Saipan. We also had Maxine Laszlo from Puerto Rico. A typhoon hit in August of 2015. 8,000 homes needed rebuilding in that country. And many of the homes would house, three generation families. So right now, MDS has been there. They have put roofs on a lot of them. Most of them, the roof was missing, but they still needed the metal to cover it, and they're having trouble getting the metal into Puerto Rico. And there's one elderly lady that had been in her home, and there was no roof, and they wanted her to leave. She says, I have lived in this house all my life. I am not going anywhere. So somebody put up a makeshift tarp so that she stayed there the whole time until they were able to get her a roof for her home.
So the TOOP has, there's two things. On Saturday morning, Cindy Klosman was our guest speaker, which happened to be the day the Olympics are kind of started, really rolled out. So part of the Canada hat, I guess they came up with the Canada MBS hat because Cindy was there. She had some interesting stories. And her stories are all based on the Bible. That's her back. That's who what backs her up. One of the stories she talked about is at the start when she first started to become competitive. They had been camping and there was going to be a dirt bike race, bicycle race. And she didn't have a dirt bike. She had a single speed highway bike. But she decided at age 12 she was going to enter anyway. She had never done anything like that before. She didn't have a helmet. She didn't have any water with her. And she said at the start of the race, and I will never forget that, my dad said to me only one piece of advice. He said, when you start the race, you go 100%, you get to the front, and you never look back, and you stay in the front. She says, that's how I've been racing all of my life, and that's exactly how you need to walk your Christian life. When you start off, you need to go 100% and never slow down. And you know, some people think that there are coincidences in life. When my career was kind of dwindling down, my sister had an accident in Winnipeg. Her car lost control on a bridge and fell over the edge. And broke through the ice, and she was in the car upside down, couldn't get her seatbelt open. That day, the first guy that came to the scene couldn't get his car started in the morning. When he finally did get it started, he took this route because it was a shortcut. Was that a coincidence? How about the guy that was there and ended up having a knife with him to cut the seatbelt so that they could get her sister out of the car? That fellow had the night before taken his filleting knife out of his fishing tackle and had sharpened it and put it in his car. Was that a coincidence? No, there are no coincidences. It's God ordained this all. And that's, she says, she talked about her gift. Her gift was a gift from God. Anybody that helps somebody else, that's a gift from God, and you've got to use it 100%. Oh, and the TOOP is also for it. There will probably be a project at Shamattawa, which is 24 hours north of Winnipeg on an ice road, to next year building a house for a pastor for a church. And so you might need a TOOP. This will be a winter project. So if anybody's interested, MBS will have more updates on that reason. It will definitely be difficult with it because you got to drive up there.
We also attended a workshop on trauma by John Coop Harder, and it was very informative. It helped us to better understand why so many of our clients, in times when are not able to function, you ask them a simple question on how would you like this or that in their home, and they cannot seem to make any decision. Many, many times, these people have also not just had one loss. They may have had a number of losses, and that's been a problem for them. I mean, I know the one lady, she had lost her job that we worked at a few years back, and she was having trouble. Her husband was retired from the Army, and he was a vet, and he was having so many hallucinations and all the things like that, and so he was very violent at home, and so she had left him, and so she had all these things, plus her house was flooded, and she just had a really difficult time functioning. And so how do you, as volunteers, help them through some of those things?
Fort McMurray story. We ended up visiting with a lady from Fort McMurray last summer, and she said that one of the first things she said that Fort McMurray was a disaster before the disaster hit. When the oil prices went down, over half the people lost their jobs. The to insure a house, this lady says, for instance, we have a 7-year-old 10x4 house trailer that costs us $900 a month to insure it. And she says, people that have families, they are not going to buy their insurance if they can't put food on the table. They're going to put food on the table. Consequently, a lot of the people in Fort McMurray had no insurance on their homes because they couldn't afford it. Now the disaster hits. People's homes are being rebuilt. The ones that had insurance, they have to rebuild in Fort McMurray. A lot of them have no intention of going back there, but they have to rebuild in Fort McMurray because that's what the insurance said. That's the only way the insurance will pay them. So now they're going to be dealing with, the ones that go back, they're going to be dealing with trying to fix their homes, and most of their neighbors aren't going to be there. So they're there. And this was exactly what the MDS rep told us, that that's exactly the experience they had. The people were mentally down, financially down, and now this was hitting them. So it was going to be a long-term rebuild thing.
So we just want to encourage anybody that is interested in serving with MDS. There's many different ways that you can serve, because they have the regular traditional units where you can serve for 1 week or more, depending on what works for you. There's the RV projects where you bring your own RV. That's the ones that we have served with on a number of occasions. They will supply the RV site for you, but you are responsible for your own meals. But they want you to serve for a minimum of 4 weeks. There is possibly going to be an RV project in BC this summer for the fires there. They also have youth programs that are often for the summer. There is also family programs where the whole family can participate. Even young children, they encourage them to give them a hammer and help them to learn to serve. And frequently that happens in summer at different camps and so forth. There's another opportunity for anybody that's interested in learning about disaster management. Heston College in Kansas has a 2-year program on learning disaster management. So we had some young people from there that were sharing about that and the experiences they were having. So MDS's motto is Restoring Hope. And Cindy Clausen left us with a passage from Matthew 25, 35 to 40.
For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you in prison or go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.
Thank you.
Tristan Dirksen is a 20-year-old who works as a janitor at Cardona Place Mall in Winnipeg. Not only is he a janitor, but he is also a singer. He doesn't do one and then the other at separate times and places. He does them both together. While he works, he sings. He sings almost anything. Classical, blues, he's training himself to sing opera. He's quite the voice and responsive to people. Something is just weird. Tell him he's no good. Many others really enjoy his singing and his selection of songs, and he admits it was really, really scary to start putting these two together. Who does that? It might seem a little odd, a singing janitor, until we notice that so much of what we value in our time, so many discoveries in medicine, technology, and science. So much creativity in music composition, memorable speeches made, and outstanding lives that have been lived have been done generally outside of the mainstream. Is it then unusual that we come to this season of Lent to commemorate that for our Lord it marks the time when he set his face to go to Jerusalem, there to suffer the injustice, the misunderstanding, and mistreatment that would land him on the cross? We worship a God who sparked an interest and presented a challenge for us to see that the kingdom of God has to do with the ordinary, the small, the insignificant, like salt and yeast, the widow who dropped two small coins into the treasury, that repentance and forgiveness, even love of the enemy, is the way to live abundantly, that saving one's life ends in disaster. Losing one's life for Jesus and the gospel's sake will lead to saving that same life. Unusual? Definitely. Hard to believe? Certainly. Tough to follow? Always a challenge. Yet life-giving? Always. Satisfying? Always. Let's read together the prayer found in our bottom page of our bulletin, the prayer for the week. Let's read it together.
Into our bottomless anxiety, into our fearful bewilderment, our fretful minds and aching hearts, O Lord, you have come to rebuild and repair and restore. You walk right into our hand-wringing, and with calming serenity, you breathe peace. Soak your song of hope into our dust-dry lives and free us to endless love and calmness of heart. Through Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Good morning. I invite you to stand and join with me in singing number 572 in your hymn book, please. 572, and we'll just let the song speak for itself. Please sing heartily.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, march we in thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast taught us like we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast taught us like we are. We are thine to now befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, we will early turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, we will early turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will.
Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us and love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us and love us still.
On page 581, please. Again, we'll sing all four verses.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Come nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Come nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious believing side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, thy power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. O pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Thank you.
The Hebrew people had a long list of prayers and songs, most of which came from the Psalms, which they used in their worship. I invite us this morning to recite together and to read together the words on the screen. Psalm 23. Let's read these together.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Lord, for being our good shepherd. Thank you for healing, for Caroline, for being with Morgan Fair and her team as you lead their ministry. As we face the continued journey of the unknown in our own lives, for day-to-day mercies we give you thanks. Even in the midst of health concerns, we pray that you would calm the fears, that you're holy and abide with your holy and abiding presence. May this presence continue to carry Austin Penner, those in care homes, those on mission assignments at home and abroad. Carry all of us in our work and our worship, our daily living, so that we too may proclaim, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May it be so with us. Amen. Carla Fair has prepared a children's story. I would invite her to present that children. Would you come and participate in what she has to offer?
Scripture reading in just a little bit is from Mark chapter 8. I'm going to read you the first verse. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Okay, so let's figure out what's happening here. Who began to teach them? It said he began to teach them. Jesus, yep. Who is he teaching? Says he began to teach them many things. Who's them? What do you think? Who does Jesus usually teach?
When you think of this? Yeah.
The disciples, yeah, exactly. So he's teaching the disciples. What is he teaching them in this verse? What does it talk about? What do you remember? Should I read it again? Okay. It says, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. So what's he teaching them? Yeah. Okay, so basically it's stuff that's going to come, and when do we mostly talk about when Jesus dies and rise again? What holiday is that? Easter, exactly. So he's teaching them about what's going to happen at Easter. And you've heard about this before, right? This isn't new. Right, okay. So, in today's message, Mr. Friesen is going to talk about Lent. Have you heard about Lent before? Kind of a new word. Lent is the time now before Easter. Just like Jesus was teaching his disciples about what was going to happen at Easter, this is a time for us to learn about what's going to happen at Easter. This is a really good time to prepare our hearts so we're ready for Easter. Have you ever heard of Advent? That's when we get ready for Christmas. Lent is when we get ready for Easter. And it's not so much about getting presents ready and our house ready and the food ready, although often that's what happens. But really it's about getting our hearts ready. So how can we get our hearts ready for Easter? What can we do? Do you think maybe learning more about the Easter story is one way we can get our hearts ready? How about going to Sunday school? Is that a good way to get our hearts ready? Going to church? Yeah. Learning about the Easter story? So, I know you have already been starting to memorize a passage, right? Because I saw it in our bulletin, and it says it's actually from you guys, for the rest of us, so we can all learn it too. And I thought, sometimes memorizing is hard, sometimes it's easy. I have a paper for you that has the whole thing, but it has blanks to fill in. Do you think this would help you memorize it? Maybe? Kind of? This is for you. You can take it with you, and you can work on it to help you memorize the passage. But before we do that, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you like to teach us, and you want us to learn from you. Thank you for all these different ways that you teach us. Help us to be ready to learn, and I pray that you would teach us new things about Easter this year. We pray this in your name. Amen.
We're going to only do one song in between right now, but I'd invite you to stand again, stretch your legs, and give your body a little bit of a break. Please stand and open your hymn books again to number 562. As we, like Carla said, as we contemplate what happened at Easter and as we begin to get our hearts ready for the celebration of Easter, let's think about the words in this song. And then the chorus says, "What a wonderful Savior." How do you feel about that? I hope to see a few smiles. Last set around, some of you looked like you just got out of bed. Sorry. Let's stand and sing and give God glory for what he's done for us. Christ has for us atonement made. What better thing to celebrate?
He cleansed my heart from all.
Hey everybody, come up here and see that Jake had me reading from Mark 8 verses 31 to 38. Carla went and changed, she set the bar a little higher by calling him Mr. Friesen. So we'll all say Mr. Friesen has me reading from Mark 8, 31 to 38. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called a crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels."
I would say, first off, an apology. I hope you did not come to judge me. I hope you came to judge the words that I would speak and discern them, not me. This topic has caused me some struggles, this Lent theme. And I pondered that, and I've struggled with that. And so if you hear quite a few questions throughout, please bear with me and ponder those questions on your own. And if you do come up with an answer, I would love to hear it. But let me start off with a question then. What is Lent? Outside of what Carla just described for us, what is Lent? What does it mean to you? And I would love to hear some answers. That's about how I felt. It's a season that we talk about, but beyond the once in a while, I gave up chocolate for 40 days, or I gave up coffee, or I gave up social media, or those kind of things. There's really not a whole lot of mention made about Lent outside of that. And so I struggled with this topic. This is the first Sunday of Lent, but what does it mean? Does it mean anything? exactly are we supposed to be doing with this? The 40-day period we can get. There are numerous references throughout the Bible relating to the number 40. I'll give you a few of them. The rain during Noah's time in the boat lasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That's in Genesis chapter 7. Moses spent 40 days and nights up on the mountain of God when he received the Ten Commandments. That's Exodus chapter 24. Here's another one that kind of caught me a little off guard. Goliath taunted the Israelite army for 40 days before David arrived and put an end to that. 1 Samuel chapter 16. 40 days of taunting. Elijah ran for 40 days after the Mount Carmel incident with the prophets of Baal and then having been threatened by Jezebel. 1 Kings 19. Jesus himself was tempted for 40 days and nights, Matthew chapter 4. And there were 40 days between his resurrection and ascension, Acts chapter 1. So the number 40 is all over the Bible. In reading up on this topic, and I went to Mr. Google quite a bit to try and find a grasp of what does this mean, you can either find evidence to support Lent, or you can find evidence to discharge it completely and disregard it completely. One common thread, Lent started in the 4th century, I think it's about 346 after Christ, that Lent started. And there was numerous people that suggested it actually came from a pagan holiday that was kind of rebranded. But a common thread throughout all of this Lent preparation is that it's a time for repentance. How many of you have ever heard of Carnaval or Mardi Gras, as the New Orleans would be? What's associated with that? I want answers. Partying revelry. We've had a little bit of participation, a little bit of observance with Carnaval and when we were in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. When you see Carnaval played out in front of your eyes, you do realize very quickly that repentance is actually quite needed after that. The fact that we commemorate Lent does not give us a license, though, to go ahead of Lent, whatever we jolly well feel like. But Carnaval is seemingly that. It seems innocent enough at the outset. Pretty parades, floats, people in joyous moods, celebrating. Then it goes downhill. By day 3, in the city of Santa Cruz, you did not venture out into the streets, period. There was paint being thrown, there was sewage being thrown at any vehicle driving by. There was immorality everywhere. It was and drunkenness, and it was like just gross. But that seemingly was all okay as long as you celebrated Ash Wednesday and Lent right after. So last weekend, while we were celebrating MDS convention and while we were celebrating church retreat, was when Carnaval took place. So now we have to be Lent season. Repentance, I think, is at the core of who we are. And I was reminded of a word yesterday when I spent some time with my cousins, that vulnerability is not something that we do very well. And in order for me to repent, when I need to ask somebody for forgiveness for something, that means I'm becoming vulnerable. I'm admitting that I don't have it together. Repentance is something that is to be at the core of who we are. Something lived constantly, not doing intentionally, or not doing it after we have intentionally wandered from God's love. We can readily find scripture to show us what Jesus thought of the public show of repentance. Luke 11, 37 to 54 is one of these, and I want to read this scripture. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people. Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now, for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, your rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you Pharisees, it is little wonder that important seats in the synagogue. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without knowing it. One of the experts of the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Jesus replied, "And you, experts in the law, woe to you, because you load down people with burdens they can hardly carry. And you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your ancestors that killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your ancestors did. They killed the prophets, you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of them whom they will kill, and others they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who are entering.' When Jesus went outside, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with waiting to catch him in something he might say. This public show of holiness didn't go very far. Jesus doesn't like it. He doesn't speak well of the public show of fasting, holiness, or repentance. So in a culture where repentance, being vulnerable, is not very common, is the Lenten period enough? It is little wonder that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law couldn't tolerate Jesus. And it begs the question for us to consider. Is my serving him, my Lord and Savior, a public show for the people around me to acknowledge what I am doing? Or do I not care about the public recognition? What is my goal in being involved in Sunday school or ushering or committee work or debate? Does it look right and proper on the outside? Or am I then muttering if I have to go, "Oh no, not on a meeting"? Am I looking right? Am I being right? This scripture, Isaiah 58, 1-9, got me thinking. "Shout it aloud," God tells Isaiah. "Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loosen the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call to the Lord. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." This helps us to understand what God is looking for in his people. It spells out fairly clearly what our approach is to be. The seasonal appearance of repentance does absolutely nothing for us. If our season of Lent ends with division and judgment, we are surely not in God's will. And it begs the question, when have I last looked at someone in our church and judged them for not being involved enough or not doing enough? What am I hoping to achieve? Self-worth? Am I like Judas in John chapter 12, complaining that the expensive perfume could have been sold and used to help the poor, when deep down that wasn't my intention at all? Do my words and my deeds add up? How easy it is to judge and complain, comparing ourselves instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to do an examination of my own motives. We are appalled at Judas. We're sitting at the Last Supper with Jesus, all innocent, as though nothing is out of the ordinary, when in reality he has already made up his mind and determined to betray him. That's ridiculous. We readily agree. But how different are we? Do I sit with him at the table and eat with him, professing him to be Lord, all the while denying him my life, and with that also betraying him? I am quite okay with him having Sunday morning, but that's all but all he can have. Is it denying Christ's love? It is denying Christ's love to disobey him. It is denying his truth to distrust him. It is denying his deity to reject his authority. It is denying Christ's lordship to elevate myself. If I look at it this way, am I any better than the Pharisees and Judas? I show up to church, so did they. I tithe, so did they. Jesus says that unless we deny ourselves, as Gary read there, not him. We don't deny him, we deny ourselves. Take up his cross and follow him. We have no part in God's kingdom. This is not to be done seasonally, but our entire lives, and not according to our plans. It's Jesus' plan that we are to adhere to. If we have a look at the disciples and them denying themselves, we can see what happens when we try to do it our way. In Mark chapter 14, we see how the disciples were in tune with God's will, but on their own terms. When Jesus asks them to stay and pray with him in the garden, they fall asleep three times without recognizing the pain and desperation of Jesus. They were there for Jesus, or they were not there for Jesus because of self-preservation, we may say. When the crunch time comes and Jesus shows up with the authorities and Jesus gets arrested, they draw some conclusions as to what protection looks like and jump into action. Now they're ready, but on their turn. They grab a sword and promptly chop off the ear of the closest. Jesus doesn't have any of that. Put your sword away, he says. So what happens then? Why did the disciples happen to strike the servant of the high priest? Was it because that would be the path of least resistance? We don't know that. Well, often don't we want to choose the path of least resistance? We do not want to offend. We don't want to be different. We don't want to say too much, because maybe we are too unsure of ourselves. I lean heavily on the Holy Spirit to convict others instead of us actually doing our part. We cannot convict, that is true. But we need to be active in spreading the word of God in season and out of season, all the time, not our way, but God's way. The disciples were willing to defend Jesus, but on their terms. Grab the sword and start attacking. Jesus puts a stop to that, and they are left defenseless, and everyone flees, leaving him all alone to face his accusers. Peter does come back later, but totally denies knowing him. Like them, we acknowledge God and Jesus standing with them for him, as long as it's on my terms. I want to be in control. I don't want to be vulnerable. As soon as I give up control, our insecurities reveal themselves. We don't like that. We like to think that we are in control. We are willing to go, but as the song goes, but please not to Africa or Winnipeg or And the list goes on. We are desperately in need of repentance. Not the 40-day version, but a lifestyle. Our very future depends on it. If we don't deny ourselves and the serving, convenient or not, we have no future with them. If we are ashamed of him and his words, he will be ashamed of us. This season of Lent should mark 40 days, and then it's over, and we move on again. It cannot be something that we do after living in excess, indulging in sinful activities that we now hope to balance off with a season of Lent. The early church grew in leaps and bounds, with new followers being added daily. Serving Jesus was something a lot of people felt drawn to. It wasn't the worship style, it wasn't the pastor, or the program, or the building. It was Jesus. Through the ordinary people that drew the people. And it wasn't convenient. We read very quickly that persecution broke out and the believers were scattered all over the place, but the message continued to be preached. People lost their possessions, their family support, even their lives, and yet the church kept on going. There's another scripture passage that I found very meaningful in this. Acts chapter 5, 17 to 39. Then the high priest and his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported. We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the day of the census. and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all of his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. That leads me to the question, can we, like Gamaliel in Acts chapter 5, hold off judging some action or person, knowing that eventually any human efforts will fail and God's ways will stand? We do not want to fight God. We will lose if we do. He says clearly in Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. So is Jesus here in, is Jesus' church here in Rosetown growing? Because we have Jesus in our midst. Am I reflecting his message or my own more convenient one? Is what I do seeking to worship God? Is it too rule-oriented? And do we dare examine the rules to see if they meet God's criteria? Can we put our worship service and our very lives under the following four questions and analyze them from that perspective? Number one, do I serve God's purpose? Number two, do I reveal God's character? Number three, do I help people get into God's family or keep them out? Number four, does what we do have biblical roots that can be supported in the context of all the scripture? Every aspect of who I am needs to be put under this review. All of what I do as written or unwritten rules, every one of them needs to pass all the four tests. So, on this Lent season, instead of being for 40 days, can we make it one that, with the Holy Spirit's help, carries forward for the rest of our lives? Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. 1 Thessalonians.
Please take out your hymnbooks again and turn with me to number 560. I'd like to draw particular attention to verse number 3. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow on me. And we take Jake's message to heart and think about what that means for us as we follow the cross. Please stand and join me in singing number 560.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, be a precious fountain, flee to all the healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory there. Shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. Ere the bright and morning star shed its beams around. In the cross, be my glory heaven. Still my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Responsible prayer. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you that your word challenges us, it moves us, it draws us to repentance, it draws us to acknowledging that we do not have it together. But we are so thankful that you have it together, that you created us, you ordained our days, you called us into being with a purpose. And may we, instead of fighting it, may we admit that we are human, we are frail, seek to draw into your kingdom through your shed blood. May you go with us, encourage us, and help us to encourage each other to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think we do, but you'd have to ask Jesse probably about that. I don't know anything about
that. I was going to bring someone to read it. See if I can manage to do it. Services are on your idea.